My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome in to another edition of our Warriors Weekly podcast for 95.7 The Game. It's John Dickinson and Matt Steinmetz, as always. And Steiny, it's the trade deadline edition and a lot to get into as the Warriors did make a pretty significant trade. And I know it's been the talk of the town here over the last couple of days. James Wiseman is out. He goes to Detroit, and Bob Myers and company doing a lot of maneuvering to try and work through getting Gary Payton II back in a Golden State Warriors uniform. So just your initial thoughts on just how everything went down at the deadline. And there was that point where it looked like, did the Warriors just do a straight salary dump for Wiseman? We didn't know who they were getting back, and it ends up being a fan favorite and somebody that helped them win the NBA championship a year ago. But the headline to this whole thing, and we'll get to Gary Payton, the headline to this whole thing is the Warriors gave up on James Wiseman.
Yeah, I think so, JD. And what the Warriors did, though, was they made some moves that actually helped them in the short term. And the Wiseman fallout, giving up on Wiseman, I don't know what's going to happen with that. I don't know if down the line they're going to realize they're missing out on a player they wanted. But, you know, if I'm asked to grade, it was funny because we were throwing grades out for what we thought of this Warriors trade deadline. And on the one hand, they got better. I mean, Gary Payton II is a functional player. He knows what he's doing here. He's probably going to help. On the other hand, they got rid of a guy who 3 years ago they were hoping was going to be a franchise cornerstone. Maybe not a bona fide Hall of Famer, maybe not a superstar, maybe not even somebody who can take the reins from Steph Curry. But when you draft a guy at number two, you expect him to be part of your franchise for a long time. So the thing that is impossible for me is to separate the two. And I feel like if this is the end of the Wiseman era, you have to assess that now, you know, like take it in, assess it, and then move on, if you know what I mean. Because you can't just, you know, a year from now, you can't talk about Wiseman. 3 years, I mean, we will, but what I'm getting at, JD, is, you know, they basically gave up 5 seconds and a number two pick overall to get Gary Payton II, if you know what I mean. And if you take the whole thing, you know, I think the Wiseman era was a disaster, and the Warriors ended up making the best out of it.
Yeah, and I think, as you mentioned, they did get better because they added a rotation piece. In the short term, they got better. They added somebody that goes right into their rotation, and they gave up somebody that wasn't in their rotation. So in the small mm-hmm. view of between now and the end of the season, Gary Payton II being on this Warriors team this season gives the Warriors a better chance of making a run, whatever that means, whether that's, you know, getting the sixth seed or win a series where maybe they wouldn't have, or win a couple of series, whatever that definition is, it gives them a better chance than they had a couple of days ago. But at the same time, it is, you know, Wiseman being gone is, that's a big deal, because it's an admission, I think, bluntly, they whiffed on the pick. And whether that is they made the wrong pick or they couldn't come up with a developmental plan within the timeline of the rest of the roster to make him functional. Because that to me is the big thing that sticks out about the Wiseman era. And I know when injuries were a part of it and all of that, but the Warriors were unable in his 2.5 seasons to basically be able to make him a functional rotation player. Forget about being a starter. Forget about looking like a star. Forget about all of that. He was unplayable on his last day on the roster for a team that was a game over 500 on his last day on the roster. That, to me, however you want to parse it out, means they whiffed on the pick.
Yeah, I mean, there's no other way to look at it. I mean, there really isn't. I guess the good part is, you know, they were able to draft Wiseman at a point when they were on top of the world, essentially. Could you imagine if this were a 500 team that people actually thought, it's a 500 team. That's what they are right now.
That didn't win a title last year without Wiseman being a factor at all.
Exactly. I guess what I'm saying is, had the Warriors lost in the second round last year and were 28-27 this year and did what they did, I got to believe they'd be getting absolutely flambéed. I mean, the fact that, you know, to me reminds me a little of the Giants when they won World Series after signing Zito to the really bad contract. And then Zito ended up helping them a little bit. But this is kind of the same way. Like, they're kind of lucky they won it last year, because it does hide the fact that they did it without this number two pick that they were really, really high on. I kind of want to know what you think, how it all played out, because, you know, nobody knows what's going on behind the scenes, but I'm going to take Joe Lacob's word for it that he really liked James Wiseman. That seemed to be clear. Now, was he Lacob's pick 2.5 years ago? And Myers and Dunleavy were saying, boy, I don't know. Maybe we should get somebody in here that can help right away with these veterans. And Lacob said, no, this guy has got it and I want him. And then and then 2.5 years later, Lacob says, you know what? Maybe you guys were right. Let's get off him. We don't know any of those details. And, you know, the other gray thing is, you know, Bob Myers is working without a contract for next year. How does that factor into all of this? I mean, interestingly, you know, I just heard a lot of people say, well, Myers really messed it, or Myers did the best he could. I'm not convinced Myers is the big boy right now. Like, if Bob Myers is not under contract for next year, JD, why would Joe Lacob say, do your thing right now and we'll go along with it? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense to me.
It's all been a collaborative. I think what it ultimately came down to is the financial component being part of the equation as well, because it's really threefold. There's the one conversation about Wiseman and his inability to be a factor at all, which led the Warriors down the path of, do they have to now move him as he's about to get even more expensive? And so, because part of this deal too is the fact that, yeah, the Warriors get Gary Payton II, but they're going to save $7 million in luxury tax this season, and they're going to save $30 million in luxury tax next season, at least for right now. Now, do they redistribute that money in trying to bring Draymond Green back or trying to enhance the roster in other ways? That's possible, but the truth is, saving that money now at a minimum allows them to spend it in a manner that helps the team later on down the line. Maybe they choose not to do that, but I think the financial component was also tied to, he's not helping this team right now, but he's also strapping the finances and the flexibility and the future flexibility while not being able to get on the court and play a role. So I think that
Let me ask you about that. Let me ask you about that, because on the one hand, yeah, they saved money. On the other hand, the flexibility is only going to come from their own free agents.
Sure.
Like, this doesn't help get them under the cap. This doesn't help them at all in terms of if they want to somehow make a trade. But it just saves them money. Like, right now, that's all. I mean, yes, the transaction is the transaction, but right now it just saves them money. Now, if that money they then claim is enough to go, you know, extend Draymond Green, okay, I believe you there, but it's going to cost $100 million to extend Draymond Green.
Sure.
So, you know, okay, knock 37 off of that or whatever. I get all that.
It's all real savings. I mean, would you rather pay right. $100 for a nice dinner, or would you rather pay $65 for a nice dinner? You know, I mean, you'd right. always rather pay $65 for a nice dinner if you can.
Right. But what I'm getting at is, you know, the idea that Joe Lacob doesn't care about the payroll is ridiculous. If Joe Lacob truly didn't care, he'd probably keep Wiseman and pay the luxury tax at the number it is. Because giving up on Wiseman had to be tough for him to swallow.
No doubt.
You know, but it was, you're right. It was a positive component for the Warriors in this deal. Absolutely.
Wiseman became a sunk cost, Steiny. He did. Exactly. He wasn't helping this team, and he was hurting the future. And again, I do think the finances come into play. I mean, and I think, you know, there was a scenario that probably existed where the Warriors looked at, you know what, maybe we do keep Wiseman and keep trying to develop him. But that will mean, as you look at everything, and I think this constantly evolves, but that will mean Draymond's gone in all likelihood. And you know what? Maybe in October, that was something that the Warriors were more comfortable at looking at. But now in February, they're not. Like, sometimes playing it out, the decision becomes pretty easy, because we didn't know 4 or 5 months ago what Wiseman would be as a player. And as it turned out, he's still, I mean, you could make the case he was less functional for this Warriors team now than he was at the beginning of his tenure, when obviously it was a team that didn't think they could win a championship. They were a little bit more in developmental mode, and they were just handed him minutes. I just go back to the way this season started for the Warriors, and the fact that, you know, all of those losses on that early Eastern trip, because I think they planned on playing the young guys. I really do believe they planned on, hey, Wiseman's going to get his 10 to 15 and Moody's going to get his 10 to 15 and Kuminga's going to get his 20 to 25. And these guys are all going to be 8, 9, 10 in a rotation that is going to help this team win. And these guys are going to play a little bit, and they're going to help some nights, and they're not going to help. But it was just a disaster at the beginning. None of the three gave them anything positive. Even Kuminga was bad at the beginning of the year, to the point where he was pulled out of the rotation. Now, he's come back and helped them a lot lately, and that's fine. But the way that the season began, I think, set up this scenario where Wiseman ended up getting traded, because the Warriors weren't winning enough with the young players being a part of it. So they had to scrap the development, in a sense, to try and win. And unfortunately for them, to this point, they still haven't really won enough to where you could make the case that it's worth it. But to those who say, hey, the Warriors should have just played the kids, I think you could make the case that the 28 and 27 would be 23 and 32 or something like that if they had played the kids more. And at that point, we'd be having a completely different conversation about what they did yesterday, because I think they would have made a bunch of moves yesterday at the deadline if they were, you know, 13th in the West. And so I think they kind of did what they had to do, in a sense. And Wiseman, because of the circumstances of this season and the inability to win early on, I think it led them down this path to where they felt they had to, you know, Wiseman's not helping them. You get a player that can help. You get your finances a little bit more in order, which maybe helps you down the line. And you see if this team can potentially make a run.
Yeah, I think you're right. But I also think that you've got to hit the Warriors for Butcher in this. Because I think we've got, I think now it's fair. It's fair to look back. And here's the thing where I think something changed midstream. They believe they had a window. And it felt like, you know, what are you going to do? Are you going to, you're going to go all in? You're not going to go all in. And they tried to do two things. And the thing that I can't get past at this point, JD, is if you thought you had a championship ready roster, which they must acknowledge, why did you select what I'm calling now three projects? You had three picks. One guy, James Wiseman, played three college games and is a big man. You know, I tell this to Guru all the time, and you know, maybe I said, if Bob Myers and Joe Lacob actually drafted James Wiseman at 19 years old with three college games and thought he was going to be able to help a championship team, then they're stupid. They're dumb. Like, they're old enough to know that's a monster gamble. So I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt and say they weren't dumb. They didn't think it was going to happen overnight, and it's not. But they had three non-ready players. Kuminga didn't even go to college. Like, how were they going to be assimilated into this team so quickly when everybody acknowledges this team's play for, and it's a little bit more complicated to play for? Like, I'm not the kind of guy, they should have done this, they should have done that, but why didn't they take a Halliburton? Well, who's clearly more ready.
There's two things. One,
a few guys.
Well, yeah, no, there's two things. One, I think, and you know, the rat on the table, to use the Steinie and Guru vernacular, the rat on the table is, I think the Warriors believe that the championship days were done going back to 2020 in November when they made the pick. And at that point in time, if you remember, that was the day that Klay Thompson had the second injury. It literally happened that day. And so you're a year and a half removed from the finals. Klay goes down. So now you know you've got no shot at winning a title in James Wiseman's rookie year. So I think they thought, hey, it's going to be tough. Like, you know, and I think in that moment, they're thinking, hope that in 2 years, let's say, Wiseman plus whoever else, but at the time only Wiseman, because that was they didn't know how good or bad they were going to be the next year. You know, hope that in 2 years, maybe Wiseman can be so good that he can help the resurgence of, you know, Klay's back and Steph and all of that, but hoping that he would be a much bigger part of it at that point. And what happened was Wiseman didn't fit and he had injury problems. And then you felt forward a year later, the Warriors were actually much better. The core was much better. You know, Jordan Poole came along at that point, who was nothing on the day that James Wiseman was drafted. So I think some things that the Warriors maybe started to write off a little bit about their core, that changed. And it was like, oh, wow, the core is actually still really good and championship caliber. And this Jordan Poole guy can help. And so that became more of a factor than whether Wiseman was going to be able to contribute or not. And so I think they got bit a little bit. I think they, you know, I think they thought they were going to need those young players to be a second core. Here's the other thing I wanted to get into, just off of this, because I think this is the more straightforward way of saying it. The Wiseman trade, that blows up. The two timeline thing is done, right? The two timeline thing is over. Yeah. With the why, like, that is like, it isn't, because that was billed as Wiseman and Kuminga and Moody and even Patrick Baldwin Jr. and Jordan Poole, we're all going to be this five together that are going to be running up and down in 2026 like Steph and Clay and Draymond were in 2013. And that was always foolish. But, I mean, Wiseman being gone now, I mean, that's an admission, I think, that the two timelines, that just see ya. That's done. It's over.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't think there's any doubt about it. I mean, I was ready to... I mean, I think it was over last year. You know, I mean, here's, and I think you and I are on the same page here. Well, what do you mean? What do you mean? It worked last year. They won a title last year. Yeah, the only reason they won a title is because they shelved their three guys. You know, you can make a case they don't shelve those guys. They don't win it. You know, you want to start saying, oh, you know, we played Kuminga more than Peyton, and Otto Porter, we didn't play as much as Wiseman. Well, guess what? You don't win a title then. You don't win a title, plain and simple. So it didn't work. I mean, it absolutely, positively didn't work.
And look at this year.
And now,
Wiseman not playing this year. Moody's not. I mean, the only one that's going to be a factor is Kuminga. And sorry for jumping in, but guess what? Kuminga's going to be less of a factor now with Peyton on the roster. So I think that's a sneaky part of the Peyton move, is it takes a little heat off of what Kuminga has to bring in a playoff run.
Exactly. And I also think – here's the other thing that this opens up the door a little more. And I know people, and I may be getting ahead of myself because they're still sitting with Steph Curry. But the bottom line is, you had the number two pick and he's not even here. He'll never play for you. And so you know, it's possible there could be lean years ahead. I know nobody wants to hear that, but
say that.
This is a player who, again, I don't know what he was supposed to be, but he was supposed to be a cornerstone. There's no doubt. And now, if you look past the big three, man, it's pretty light. It's pretty light, especially, you know, and then you start thinking about Jordan Poole playing without another guy or two here. I just think they got to be a little bit careful here, JD, to tell you the truth, because, you know, they we don't know if their young players can play or not. We don't.
No, we don't. And look, I think Kuminga has shown some signs, but to project Kuminga at this point to be a superstar or even an all-star, I think is somewhat laughable right now. And, you know, we'll see in a couple of years probably, but I think he's the one. Like, I almost put Moody, like, to me, Moody, and I'm not, it's not a judgment of Moody's career or anything, but it's like Moody's just a non-factor for this year. Like, that's just like, and you know what? That's fine. We'll see next year what happens. Like, really, we're talking about Kuminga, because the devil's advocate of what you're saying is, and I think, you know, Bob Myers said this on your guys' show, if you can get one of the three to be a factor, and I know he was talking about in season potentially, but the truth is, if one of the three, and this is what a lot of people would say, between Wiseman, Kuminga, and Moody become a really good player, that might be enough. And you know, to consider
right now,
well,
to help this core.
Sure. But I mean, if Kuminga becomes, let's say Kuminga becomes an all-star at some point, it doesn't change the fact that the Warriors whiffed on Wiseman, because those two are separated. But if Kuminga does become an all-star, I think you'd look back on, and Moody becomes serviceable. I do think a lot of people would look back on this era, if you will, or this last couple of years as, you know what, it was, they missed on Wiseman, but Kuminga's still really good and Moody's solid, and it's a net positive. Is that too Pollyanna? I mean, what, you tell me.
It's possible, but what if Kuminga, okay, you know what, Kuminga is good. What if he's Antoine Jameson? You know, guy, hey, get you 23 a night, but guess what? You go 29 and 53 every year. Like, that's another.
I mean,
that's another aspect.
What if he's DeMar DeRozan and he's really good and you win 45 games every year? Because, you know what I mean? Like, that, you know, would right. that be good enough? And you used one example, and I'll use another example. Right, a guy that's a sometimes All Star. Right, who's pretty good, but his teams don't win squat if he's the best player. You know, right. Would that be enough to be a seven seed every year with him as your best player 4 or 5 years from now? I think that's another part of the equation that has to be asked.
Yeah, I think it does too. And the other question that's got to be asked is, you know, how are fans going to feel about seventh 3-4 years from now? I don't know. You know, I mean, I know we don't really care much about filling a building or anything like that, but you know, that's the one thing I do worry about is, and I worried about it. I've been worried about it for 2 or 3 years. People say I worry about it way too much. Is what happens when this thing's over? I'm talking about Steph and Clay and Draymond. I mean, like, the moves that they make now, the moves that they made in the last year or two, and the moves that they'll make in the next year or two, that's going to determine what happens in 3 years.
Well, and do they make a run this year? Like, cause this right. year still can be salvaged, and they may not win a title this year, Steiny. And I wouldn't pick them to win a title at this point, but if they somehow got to the conference finals and got beat in six by a team that goes on to win the championship, by a Phoenix, by a Denver, you know, whatever. I mean, at this point that would be deemed a pretty successful season. So I think that matters too. But the flip side is, are they the eight seed and they get knocked out in the play-in tournament like they did 2 years ago? I think if that happens, then we're having a different conversation as well about this year, right, as it relates to the future.
All right, well, let's talk about next year. Let's say they have a good playoffs, but they don't win it. They lose in the Western Conference Finals. Is there anybody that thinks next year's team's going to be better?
It depends. I mean, it really does. It depends on how – well, it depends on how healthy they are. It depends on how – you know, does Kuminga get better? It depends on do they add to the – do they add depth to the roster in a way that they didn't add depth to the roster this year? Because, it's funny. We've talked about the star players and the core not carrying their weight for this year, but they also, when you look at the rotation, have not been as nearly as deep or had nearly as many positive contributions from the 7, 8, 9 players on the roster as they did last year. And it's funny, we talked for all the going back 2 years for all the conversation about the Warriors had to go get a star. 2 years ago, and I remember because we had this conversation a bunch, the one thing that I always said was, I don't really think they have to go get a star. I just think they have to get 9 or 10 good players. And at that point, they only had maybe 4 or 5. And so I do think there's a path if Steph is still all-star caliber and Klay looks like he's closer to what he's been the last month and a half than he's been prior to that. And, so that I do think there's some wiggle room to be really good, but I know where you're going to go. They're older and they're going to be more, they're not going to have as much money, all of those things.
Yeah. I mean, it's not easy to manage. It really isn't. And well, I mean, who knows what's going to happen with Draymond? I mean, it's funny because I keep hearing, the Warriors, they may resign him. I guess they might. But the thing that I hear that I disagree with is, well, he's not going to get money. He's not going to get paid. Really? I'd be real careful about thinking that Draymond couldn't go out and get $80 million over 3 years.
Oh, I totally agree with that. I think he absolutely could. My baseline is probably 3 and 75.
Especially if he. Yeah, that's about what I was thinking, especially if he can finish out this year and essentially, like, I think he slipped and Guru gets so mad at me, but he's still one of the best defensive players in the league, but he's not the best defensive player in the league. And obviously that doesn't mean he's useless, but for what the Warriors have come to expect, that little bit of slippage, that matters. I mean, that may be the difference between winning a title and not winning a title. And Klay's slippage on defense may be the difference between winning a title and not winning a title. But you put Draymond Green onto another team that doesn't need him to anchor quite as much as the Warriors team. I mean, he can help you.
All right, a couple of minutes here. There were a couple of things I wanted to get to that we hadn't yet. And as it relates to Peyton, we've talked about Gary Payton, and you mentioned, hey, this team, if circumstances were different, they'd be getting flambéed. I think, and we talked about Payton helps this team. He goes right into the rotation, but I gotta say it because we were talking about it yesterday. I feel like the fact that Gary Payton II was the player they got back because he's so beloved and helped them win the title last year. Like, I feel like if they had acquired a random player of another name, pick a name that was a good defensive player, and for Matisse Thybul, for James, okay. For James Wiseman, I feel like the tone in the Bay would be a lot different. I think Warrior fans are getting in a little bit of their Giants-y fan feelings of, oh, Gary Payton II. Everybody loves Gary Payton II. And that, in a sense, has prevented the Warriors from getting roasted as much for the Wiseman deal and the fact that they traded James Wiseman for Gary Payton II.
Right. No, there's no doubt that's a part of it. But I will say this, trying to look at the other side of it. Their defense has – it has stunk this year. I mean, it is so freaking bad. They don't – like, it stinks, JD.
And Payton will help.
I I do believe if Payton is gonna, I'm a little worried about his health, to tell you the truth, but we'll shelve that. If Payton can start picking up that point guard full court, that is a tone setter. That sets a tone. I think it is within the realm of possibility that he alone can make the Warriors a better defensive team, not only individually, but I think he will set a tone. I do believe that if he's the same player. So I do think he's going to help, but just looking around, what other teams did, I just don't think they have the talent now to match up with a Denver, Phoenix, or even the Clippers now, I thought, loaded up. Dallas too.
No, they really did. And I think the other part, just to tie off Peyton, I think this Warriors team, Steiny, needed an infusion. I talked about it on the post game show. I think they needed something. Yeah. I think they needed, it's kind of like a baseball team that at the deadline, they go get that one, even if he's a seven hitter, they go get that one hitter that lengthens the lineup. They go get that one reliever that makes you feel a little bit better about the late innings where you got one more guy. Like I felt this team needed, and I mean the core guys and the guys that are playing a lot, Steph and Clay and Draymond and those guys, I think they needed a little bit of an infusion of, hey, we're still trying to help add, push forward, keep fighting. And I do think that's where the psychology of bringing somebody that was so beloved back in Peyton does help. Like, I don't think the Warriors could have stood pat. I think that would have led to a letdown based on what everybody else did. So small move, but I think it could be a productive move for the Warriors.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree.
All right, Steiny, good stuff, my man. We'll do it again next week. Maybe get into some of the Western Conference and all of those moves. So it'll be our all-star break version of the pod. For Steiny, I'm JD. Warriors Weekly Podcast, 95.7 The Game.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.